Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On March 4th of 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt was sworn in as the 32nd President of the United States of America. It was a turbulent time in the world's history, and America had no exemption from that turbulence. The Great Depression had begun. Millions of Americans were out of work and were hurting. The world stage was becoming increasingly hostile, both in Europe and in the Pacific. There was a lot that was wrong with the world. There was a lot that was wrong with America at that particular time in history. And yet, in the midst of all of it, Roosevelt, in his inaugural address, said these words: "I am certain that my fellow Americans expect that on my induction into the presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impel. This is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." I love that speech. Probably one of the best presidential inaugural speeches ever given. It was exactly what the people of America needed to hear from their new president. His words gave the American people hope that tomorrow could be, and it would be, better than it is today. And that's all wonderful. Yet in the midst of his candor and encouragement, he actually told a lie. I'm not sure whether or not he thought it was a lie. He obviously thought that it needed to be said regardless. And as chance and history would have it, the lie that he told is the one line in his speech that he's most known and most remembered for. Perhaps even the line that he, as our president, is most known and remembered for. And the lie is this: the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Now, I'll admit that's a great thought. It's a powerful, motivational statement. But it simply isn't true. This world is full of things that should rightly fill us with fear. There, of course, are the big things in nature, like floods and fires and storms and earthquakes, which can wipe out entire communities with one fell swoop. And, of course, there are wars, which bring about a lot of death and destruction. Then there are terrorists, carjackers, house invaders, drug dealers, gang members, angry, estranged boyfriends, identity thieves, just to name a few of the people that can cause our lives danger, put our well-being at risk. And then, of course, there are the personal physical maladies, car accidents, illnesses, diseases, high cholesterol and high blood pressure and aging, and all of the troubles that go along with all those different things. And then emotionally, we have a lot of issues that we should rightly fear. Troubled marriages, painful divorces, lonely singles, wayward children, incapacitated parents, just to name a few, and I'm sure you could add a whole host to that list. It is less than honest and less than real to say that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Roosevelt may have believed that, and I guess I applaud his optimism, but that is not a realistic understanding nor assessment of the fallenness of our world and of our lives. Job stated in the scriptures that man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He would go on to say again, man is born to trouble. Jesus himself warned his disciples about the sorry state of this world. And he told them that when they went out as his people, they would be hated and they would be persecuted. And so the truth is that there are many things in this world and many things in our lives that are legitimately deserving of fear. But that doesn't mean that we are justified in being afraid. To the contrary, God exhorts us not to be afraid. Not because the terrible things in our lives are not deserving of fear, but because in and through all the terrible things that we go through, He is with us. Yes, losing a loved one and carrying on in life without that person there with you is scary. And yes, losing your mental and physical capabilities and abilities as you age is frightening. And yes, graduating college and wondering what's next is filled with anxiety. And yes, facing an unknown future is worrisome. Every single one of those things are very legitimate things to fear. But you don't need to be afraid of any of them, because God is with you and He will rescue you. Listen to the words of our Old Testament. That reading from Jeremiah describes God's call to him to serve as one of God's prophets. He said, "The words of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord." Notice that God never told Jeremiah that there was nothing for him to fear. That simply would not have been true. God was sending Jeremiah into the mouth of the lion to proclaim his message. There was so much for Jeremiah to fear, I wouldn't even know where to begin to tell you all. But in the midst of all of those things, God says to Jeremiah, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." That's the same thing he said to Isaac and to Jacob and to Moses and to Joshua and to Gideon and to Israel and to the disciples and to us. God chose us before we were even formed in our mother's wombs to be His children. He sent His Son Jesus into this world as our Savior, sent Him to forgive us and to rescue us from sin, death, and the power of the devil, which He accomplished for us through His suffering and death on the cross and through His amazing, glorious resurrection from the grave. He gave us His Holy Spirit in the water and the word of holy baptism. Gave us His Spirit to comfort us and to strengthen us as we face the myriad of challenges that are thrown at us in this life. And finally, those words before His ascension, His words that He would be with us always, even to the very end, to fill us with His perfect love. That perfect love that John tells us that drives out all fear. You see, you and I need not fear our future, nor our present. But not because there's nothing to fear, but rather because God is with us, and He will rescue us. He chose and He rescued Jeremiah. And He chose and He rescued His disciples. And He has chosen and He has rescued us. And He always will. That is His promise. And that's why we need never fear. To God be the glory, for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.